The talk that we have for today is on Jesus Taught. It's part of the series that we've been going through for the Christmas season. And I think what did we start with? Anybody remembers? Jesus prayed. Okay, perfect. Last week, Anand helped us with Jesus Cared. This week, we're going to look at Jesus Taught. Okay, I'm really excited about this particular talk, excited to see what God is going to really teach us today. So this area of Churchgate is not really new to me. Yes, I do live at Powai, but by birth I'm a townie. I was born in the area of Regal. I was educated a stone's throw away from here near Churchgate Station at St. Xavier's Boys Academy. For most of us, as well as for me, school is a time of great memories. Okay, we remember the amazing times with our friends. Remember those teachers that we really enjoyed spending time with. Have you ever wondered why Teacher's Day and Friendship Day are the 2 days that are celebrated the most in school? I purposely left out Valentine's Day. But for all of us, 5th September, Teacher's Day, is a time where we all made handmade cards and we went to school and we gave our teachers a flower and we said thank you for being such a blessing to us. For me as well, Teacher's Day was a big day, and that's because in school, I met this one teacher who has remained in my heart ever since. His name was Mr. Furtado. He taught me algebra and geometry. Most of you all are wondering, why is he your favorite teacher then? Because most of us do struggle with algebra and geometry. He was this soft-spoken, unassuming Goan from a suburb in Bombay called Mahim. He had a really gentle spirit, but if you got on the wrong side of him, God bless you. I grew especially fond of him for two reasons. Number one is because of his character and the kind of person that he was. Secondly was also because of every day after school, I sat with him for tuitions. Believe me, I needed it. So he taught me in a small group. It was a real blessing receiving that kind of extra attention from him. It was a real joy to experience him teaching in a big group session that was in class, and then teaching me in a small group session, which was at tuitions. I left school, and a few years later, I got to know that his health had gone bad. He began struggling with mental health issues, and he became a recluse, and his life slowly petered away. And I remember it really broke my heart because he had had a huge influence on my life. But there's somebody else who's had a bigger influence on my life that I would love to share with you about today. And that person goes by none other than the name of Jesus Christ. Fantastic teacher. Big group, small group, he cut across societal demographies. The kind of topics that he chose was so different. He could contextualize it at the drop of a hat. Brilliant. Okay, if I even begin to compare this sermon with how he did it, I would just throw this away and hand you the Bible and say, go through it. Okay, but the way that he did it was just fabulous. Very interestingly, it says in the, I was doing some research, and it says that in the Gospels, that is the first four books of the New Testament, he's referred to, 90 times that he's referred to in the first person. Of those 90 times, 60 times he's been referred to as teacher. Okay, 60 times he's been referred to as teacher. And the Bible tells us about this man called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus comes to him late in the night, and he has a really personal question to ask him. And he says, teacher, this is my question for you. Okay? And Anand was telling us last week about Mary and Martha, who who lost, whose brother passed away, and Jesus went and ministered to them. And the minute Mary comes, or Martha comes to know that Jesus has come, and she's calling her sister, she says, "Come soon, teacher is here." Okay, you can see the kind of influence that the Lord Jesus had on the lives of people over there. They say that the Lord Jesus' teachings have had more influence on humanity than any other teacher ever since. Okay? He had a huge influence on our own the father of our own nation, Mahatma Gandhi. Okay? And these are Mahatma Gandhi's words. He said, "The Sermon on the Mount, which was Jesus' first teaching, went straight to my heart." He didn't say it went to my mind. He said it went straight to my heart. He said, in this sermon, he was fascinated by the words saying that, "Do not resist evil. And if somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek to them." He always insisted that Jesus occupied a very important place in his mind and the kind of teachings that he applied. Having said this, I need to mention that Jesus' mission of coming to earth was far more than just teaching. But more on that later. So we'll just change the slide. So we're going to look at some situations. We're just going to walk through what we have in store for today. So we're looking at some situations that Jesus taught in, some of Jesus' teaching strategies. We look at some of Jesus' teachings itself, and then we're going to look at, was Jesus just a teacher? So that's what we really have in store for us today. So let's just dive right in. Great. So Jesus taught in various very different situations. Firstly, he taught disciples as they walked from place to place. And you all know that when you go for a walk with a friend, you have some great conversations, don't you? Yeah, I'm sure most of us can remember it. In biblical times, there were no cars, there were no planes, there were just ships and horses or animals, and you used your feet. Okay, so they had to walk a lot, and majority of Jesus' teachings to the disciples happened as they walked from place to place. I could say they were given special coaching classes because they were meant to carry on his legacy. The next situation that Jesus taught in was he taught the crowds in the town square, he taught them by the mountainside, and yes, he even taught them from a boat. Okay? And the Bible tells us that his longest speech, which I mentioned, saying the Sermon on the Mount, it's not called Sermon on the Mount for no reason, because he was teaching them from the mountainside. Okay? And when it comes to Jesus teaching them from a boat, there was this one time where Jesus reached this place and it actually said the multitudes rushed towards him and they pressed against him so much so that there was no place for him to stand. And so he calls to his disciples and he's like, "Please get me onto that boat." Okay, and then he gets onto the boat and the Bible says that the multitude sat on the seaside there and Jesus taught them from the boat. If you want to know how he managed the acoustics, I'm sorry, I don't have the answer for you. You can ask Joel at the back. He might be able to help you. And finally, Jesus taught the Pharisees in the synagogues and the temples. The Pharisees were these harshest critics of Jesus. They were those one student, I would say, whose only aim in life is to prove the teacher wrong. I don't know how many of us are like that over here today. But yeah, so these were some of the situations that Jesus taught in. The Bible tells us that one of his first teachings after the Sermon on the Mount was in a synagogue or was in a temple. Okay, so he used every opportunity that he got to really be able to teach people. Let's look at some of Jesus' teaching strategies. Okay, now, I'm a trainer by profession, and I recognize the importance of different teaching aids. Okay, we have our whiteboards, we have our PPTs, a lot of new age technology. Obviously, Jesus didn't have that. Okay? And so Jesus had to come up with various, very different teaching strategies. The first teaching strategy that Jesus used very often was plain speak. He said it how it is. Okay? And there was this one time where Jesus was giving them, when he was doing the Sermon on the Mount, and he started talking about adultery. Ooh. Okay? And all the men over there who were sitting with their wives were like, okay, it's not meant for me. I'm not sleeping with another woman. I'm just faithful to my wife. And Jesus turns to them and he says, really? So when was the last time you went for a date with your wife? And there was a pretty woman next door, in the next table. Where were your eyes that time? Okay? And suddenly those guys were like, oopsie, I'm messing with the wrong guy here. Guys who are married and who are unmarried, Jesus is watching. Okay? The next teaching aid that Jesus used were stories and contextualization. One of his largest teaching methods was also called the parables. Okay? All of us over here would have heard about the Good Samaritan, I suppose. Yeah? It's part of our moral science book. Okay, if you remember moral science back as a kid, the Good Samaritan story. And we're going to talk about that a little later. But Jesus used a lot of stories to be able to share truths with people and to be able to contextualize it to their situation. Okay, so today, if I were to go into the villages somewhere, I would not start talking to them about Bill Gates, would I? Okay, I would be talking to them about a local leader who they can relate to. And that's exactly what Jesus did while he was speaking with the folks over there as well. He used a lot of stories. He used a lot of analogies as well. Okay, there was one time where he told them, you need to be the salt. And you know of what use salt is when it loses its saltiness. It's of no use. Okay, and Jesus used analogies to be able to explain truths to people. And finally, Jesus taught them through actions, okay? Where he healed a person and then he said, you know what? You're struggling with this health issue, perhaps because there is some sin in your life, okay? And he said, I'm healing you of the sin, but I'm also forgiving you. I'm healing you of the sickness, but I'm also healing you. I'm also forgiving you of that sin. Okay, and Jesus taught through actions. So all this is great, okay? But how did or what exactly did Jesus really teach people? Okay, what did he say to people? So I'm going to break this up into a couple of broad topics for us. So you can go to the first one. So it says, Jesus taught people about himself and his mission. Okay? Who better than the Savior of the world to teach people about the Savior of the world? Who better than the Savior of the world to teach people about the Savior of the world? God didn't send an avatar to teach people about himself. He himself came down. The Bible tells us that one thing that Jesus said was, God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus was God's only Son, whom God sent to die for us. Jesus was teaching the people about themselves. The other time he tells people, my Father, who you call God, glorifies me. I don't glorify myself. Okay? He was teaching people about himself. There are 7 I am statements that Jesus talks about himself where he says, I am the bread of life. I am the true wine. I am the light. I am the door. Jesus was constantly teaching himself, teaching people about himself. He also taught people about how he was going to die and when he was going to rise again. Okay? He told his disciples, and these were his words. He took them aside and he's like, we're going to go up to Jerusalem. And you know those naughty kids in the class who we are referring to as the Pharisees? They are the ones who are going to crucify me on the cross. And after 3 days, I will rise again. Jesus said, I haven't come here on earth just to be able to teach you all good things. He's like, I've come here to be able to die for sins and provide salvation for mankind. Jesus taught about himself and he talked about missions. Jesus taught about loving God, where he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Jesus taught about prayer. Okay, and last week, Anand walked us through how Jesus spoke about prayer. So I'm not going to cover that too much. But I am going to say this. Jesus taught that prayer is not laying down our plans and asking God to execute those plans. Prayer is about asking God for his plans and asking him for the strength to execute those plans. Okay? So Jesus taught that. And finally, Jesus taught about how we should be treating others. Okay? So till now, it's been really cool. Jesus taught about himself. Fair enough. He taught about prayer. He taught about loving God. But he also taught about us about how to treat others. So this is a really interesting one. Jesus taught to us about...
Check. Sorry.
Jesus taught to us about how you should treat your spouse. Okay? And for those guys who are single and who think this doesn't apply to me, believe me, it's good to start learning in advance. Okay? He taught us how to treat our spouses. He taught us how to give to the needy. Jesus also taught us about judging others. Okay? And there's a verse in the Bible that's very interesting. Jesus told the people over there, you start pointing out the speck in somebody's eye, but fail to realize the plank of wood or the plank in your own eye. Okay? For very long, I didn't understand this. Until I realized the difference in the size of a plank of wood and a speck of dust. And it was like Jesus is saying, you've got this massive plank of wood in your own eye, and you're beginning to point out the speck of dust in another's eyes. In another time, Jesus was walking somewhere, and these Pharisees brought this one woman who was caught in adultery to Jesus and said, she's committed adultery. Our law says that she should be punished severely. What should we do with her? And Jesus just smiled at them and said, he who's not sinned before can throw the first stone. And the Bible said, they dropped their stones one by one and went on their way. And then Jesus turned to the woman and said, I forgive you. Go on your way and sin no more. Jesus really taught us about how we need to treat others, how we judge others. Jesus taught us about not causing others to sin. Jesus taught us about serving others humbly. That's something that we're going to look at a little later. Jesus taught us about loving our neighbors. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? So basically, this is what the story says. This one person was walking down the road. Robbers came and attacked him. They stripped him of his clothes. He was hurt, lying over there. And
Two people passed by and said, "It's not my business, let me walk away." The third person was a Samaritan who, by the caste of people, was always at war with the person who was lying injured there. And the Bible says us, or the story that Jesus told us went such that this Samaritan stopped, applied first aid, took the person to an inn, stayed the night, nursed the person, and the next morning said, "Okay, this now I really have to go," but gave money to the innkeeper and said, "I'm leaving now, but I'm going to come back later and pay you to take care of this person." Okay? Loving your neighbor. What a beautiful story about loving your neighbor. Jesus taught people how it is to truly love your neighbor. Jesus also taught us about loving your enemies. Okay? So this is a really fun one, isn't it? So easy. Love your enemies. Pretty cool. This is what Jesus says. He says, "But to those of you who will listen, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the face, turn the other cheek to them." I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of when last we did this, because my hand would never go up. Okay? Jesus' teachings demanded a major response from all of us. And finally, Jesus said, "Pray for those who persecute you." That's a difficult one as well. Okay? Jesus taught us about forgiveness. Whoever's good in maths here can tell me the number 70 times 7. Those are the number of times you're supposed to forgive one person. I didn't say everyone. I said one person. I'm really challenged by this verse. Okay, and I was doing an audit of my life. And I said, how am I being able to forgive others? I'm not doing very well. And I really need God's strength to be able to learn how it is to forgive others from my heart. This other time, Jesus was telling another parable about forgiveness. And this is what he told people. He said that there was this one king who was to receive a huge sum of money from this one servant. And so he says, "Call the servant. I'm going to punish him now." And the servant walks in and the servant begs the king and says, "Please forgive me. I've not been able to pay this debt. Give me some more time. I'll pay it back to you." And the king's heart was turned and he turned to the servant and he said, "Forget paying it back. I cancel your debt." And the servant was excited and he walked outside and suddenly he sees this fellow servant who owed him a few rupees. And he says, "You stupid person, why haven't you paid me yet?" And he calls the police and says, put this person into jail. And the master gets to know that the servant treated his fellow servant like this. And he was furious. And he said, "Call back that servant. I want the same thing done to him that he's asked to be done to somebody else." And this is how Jesus ends that story. He says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat you if you do not forgive others from your heart." I think the important words over there are "from your heart." It's not a question of forgive and forget. It goes far beyond that for us. So all this is great. But my question for us is Jesus then just a good teacher? We've heard the different stories that he's told. I've walked us through some of his teachings. And if you put all of Jesus' teachings together, you will get the image of Jesus himself. Jesus applied everything that he preached. When he said, forgive one person 70 times 7, I assure you that once we put our faith in Jesus, he'll double and triple and quadruple 70 times 7. Okay? Jesus said, forgive those who persecute you and pray for them. You know, while he was hanging on the cross, one of his prayers actually was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. He not only prayed on the cross for those who had just crucified him, he even asked God to forgive them. Okay? Jesus applied everything that he asks us to follow. And for me, that's the most beautiful thing about Jesus. When he said, love your enemies, love those who hate you, that's what happened at the cross. The biggest sign of love you can ever show somebody is by giving your life for them. Jesus died even for those soldiers who had just smacked those nails into his hands and feet. He had no hatred in his heart towards those soldiers. But this is now my curveball for us. Is just accepting Jesus as a good teacher sufficient to be able to apply his teachings? He's a fabulous teacher. I think we've established that. But the question I think for us is just believing that Jesus is a good teacher sufficient to be able to imbibe his teachings? I wish I could say the answer was yes. But in reality, it's a big no. Okay? You remember Mr. Furtado? Those algebra problems really troubled me. They resulted in me pulling my hair out, leaving me with a bald spot here that you can still see. No matter how good a teacher he was, he did not have the ability to change my IQ. Jesus' teachings demand from us a response that in our own strength, we just do not have. Most of us, including me, and firstly me, would struggle to forgive a person 7 times. Forget 70 times 7. Jesus' standards are so high that in our own strength, we cannot respond to them. And so I'm going to give us the response or the solution that we need to be able to help us to imbibe Jesus' teachings. Where can we get this power we need to imbibe his teachings? And then I'm going to leave us with the option to apply that solution or not. And so the Bible tells us about this one time where Jesus was sitting with his disciples. He was about to be crucified. This was the last meal that he was having with them. And as you know, at that time, like I said, the roads were dirt tracks. People sat on the floor and ate. So the minute you entered somebody's house to have a meal, the servant over there would come, wash your feet, dry it, and then you would go and sit and have the meal. Okay? And so Jesus had just entered that place with all these disciples, and his heart was troubled because he knew he was about to be crucified. And he walks up to each and every of those disciples and he washes their feet. Apart from Levia, I don't know who the last person is whose feet I washed. And Jesus washed their feet. And then Jesus turns to them and says, you call me Lord and teacher. And if you consider me Lord and teacher, you will now do to the others around you what I just did to you. Jesus' last teaching before he crucified was through actions, and his teaching was about serving others humbly. And what really broke me when I read through this passage was, I was hoping Judas wasn't there. Judas was the person who betrayed Jesus for a few gold coins. And I went through the passage, and it left me with no option to share with you. Jesus washed Judas's feet as well. Okay? I don't know if I have that power in me to be able to wash the feet of somebody who's soon going to betray me. But Jesus did that. He even washed Judas's feet. And I want to present this to us this evening, or this morning, saying that calling Jesus as teacher is not sufficient to be able to follow these teachings of Jesus. He even suggested to the disciples that they would be able to wash each other's feet because he knew they considered him Lord and teacher. And I want to present to us this option this day, saying that the only way that we can follow these teachings of Jesus is by allowing him to become our Lord. That's the only option that we have to be able to even begin to apply these teachings of Jesus. Suddenly we realize that Jesus wasn't teaching because he wanted the disciples to say, wow, that's really deep. He wanted them to be able to apply it. And that's the call for us today as well. To be able to apply the teachings of Jesus. We cannot do it in our own strength. We require to give our hearts to him and allow him to become our Lord. To be able to even begin to apply these teachings of Jesus. The folks around Jesus loved him as a teacher and influencer because they made him as their Lord and they accepted him as their substitute. They accepted that he had set the example for dying for him, for them. And that was the motivation that they received to be able to even begin to apply the teachings of Jesus. Only accepting Jesus as my Lord can give me the strength to even be able to begin to apply his teachings. And only accepting Jesus as my substitute would give me the strength to be able to continue to apply his teachings in my life. I'm going to end today with saying there was this one person called C.S. Lewis. Anand referred to him earlier as well. He wrote this book on the Chronicles of Narnia. It was converted into a movie, a brilliant movie. Okay, and this is what he says. He says that if you consider all that Jesus said, you will not be left with the option of considering him just as a good teacher. He was clearly more than just a good teacher. A good teacher would never be able to set or meet those high standards that he set. And so this morning, I'm going to leave us with this one thought. If you are wowed, if you are blown away, if you are even captivated by these teachings of Jesus and would like to be able to follow them, clearly just being wowed by them would never give us the strength to be able to apply them. If you believe that Jesus' teachings are wow enough to be followed, the only way is by considering him Lord and giving him your heart. Because anyway, Jesus didn't come to deliver great teachings. He came to win hearts.